Drama.
Fashion.
Podcast. And who are we?
That's one secret we'll never tell.
XOXO.
Girls Room.
Hey, Upper East Siders. Girls Room here. The one and only podcast about the scandalous lives of Manhattan's elite. I'm Julia Gray. I have my incredible co-host with me, Drew Haskins.
Hello. Hello, hello. Damn it. That's like, I couldn't stop myself.
No!
That's like, just like...
You literally wrote in the doc, do not say hey, 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 and you
well,
did.
Well, I did say hello, hello, hello. That's like,
hello,
fine.
Hello, hello. That's RuPaul, I guess.
Yeah, it's RuPaul.
You went from Fat Albert to RuPaul. I think that's an upgrade for sure.
It's appropriate of either way, so... Hopefully next week we don't do it. But also RuPaul stole that from the comeback. Have you seen the comeback?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. I can connect those dots. That's the best show.
It's so good. I rewatched it 2 summers ago when they brought it back to Max for, I don't know why I was off, but it's so good. Like such essential television show that everyone needs to be watching.
Yeah, truly. If you haven't seen The Comeback, that needs to be the next thing you watch. You need to pause this episode and go watch that and then return to this episode.
Or
maybe not.
Finish this episode and then
yeah.
go watch all The Comeback before next
better.
Week. Yeah.
That sounds better.
How you doing? What's up?
I'm all right. As we discussed off mic, I'm very tired.
Yeah. So let's think about some other things that people may have guessed by now, we're flying solo for this episode. We may have a pop-in guest but we had some scheduling issues tonight, so we're flying solo. But I want to read some headlines to you.
Oh my God, wow, okay, that was fast planning.
from Pop Crave.
Okay.
And I'd want your opinions on kind of the current events of today.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney revealed that they leaned into romance and affair rumors to market their hit rom-com, Anyone But You.
Okay, is anyone surprised? This is what we've been saying the whole time. Of course, they were marketing a rom-com. God damn it.
I agree.
I hate these two.
Okay, I love both of them. So here's where we differ. I'm very pro Sydney Sweeney. I love her. I think she's like actually a generationally talented actor.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I didn't see Anyone But You. I've heard she's not great in it, but like not everyone needs to be doing comedy.
No, that's true. Sydney Sweeney, I don't think should be doing comedy, if I'm being honest. I don't know what she should be doing though.
She's good in dramas. Did you watch that movie where she played the...
Reality?
Reality, yeah. She's
okay.
Really good.
She was
reality.
Really good in that. All right. Maybe I take it back.
People like Immaculate, too. I haven't seen Immaculate yet because I think it's too scary to go see in the theater, so I'm going to wait for it to come to VOD. But apparently she's, like, phenomenal in that.
Okay. Maybe I'll give the girl a shot. I think I just... I don't know. I found that whole press tour irritating, but... It's a good way to sell a rom-com. I'm not faulting either of them. I'm even applauding them, though that movie looked so dreadful.
It looked so dreadful. I'm not like a big studio rom-com person.
No, I was at a time when they were good, but now...
They're terrible now.
They're awful. They're not rom or com.
I don't know if this is a coherent thought, but a lot of the rom-coms that get made now seem to be written by people our age who are students of better rom-coms. Like, they're not the teachers, they're not setting the pace, like, they're reading all these kind of... They read the script for, like, You've Got Mail, and we're
yeah.
Like, okay, like, this is sort of how you approximate that, but it doesn't have the same, like,
Zazz. Yeah, I mean, it's also just, I think the way that things are made now, and the, I guess, checks and balances and the the things you need to have a successful movie in the year 2024 are not the things people were taking into consideration in, I don't know, 2004.
Yeah.
Like
And
there was more, I don't know, there were I it seems like there were more quality checks back then in a real way, and now it's more just like, how many times can we show Sydney Sweeney's boobs?
yes, very much
I mean,
that.
that's like a, it's more than that, obviously. It's not just like a sexualization thing. It's just, I don't know.
It's just, it's a, like, I hate to reduce things to vibes, but it's a vibe thing. Like,
Yeah,
if
and it's,
either you have it or you don't.
yeah, I don't know. And it just, they're not giving the right people the money to make these things.
No. Definitely not. Like, and that's not to say that there aren't good rom-coms out there, but I feel like everything I've seen that's been fun has been more of an indie or like a genre twist.
I'm looking up
Than anything.
rom-com 2023. Oh God,
What an
no.
awful Google. No, I like it's just you're gonna get some like dreck out of that because their Netflix pumps out one a week now too that we
Seriously,
just don't
maybe
even
that's
see.
why. It's just okay. So last year, I think the theater rom-com, it seems, was No Hard Feelings, which I didn't see but looked
Oh, I like that, but
okay.
that wasn't really a rom. I mean, it kind of was, but it. I didn't think it was really a rom-com.
That looked like kind of the that looked like the kind of rom-com that would have not made a splash in the mid-2000s, but would have been good.
Yes, it definitely had the vibe of a cult hit immediately, and I don't think that if Jennifer Lawrence hadn't been in it, it would have made much noise. But it was really, really good. Okay, I'm sorry to, I do have to pause 1 second
Oh,
because
please.
I am being bothered to, and I will cut this out, obviously. I'm
No.
being bothered to buy tickets for a,
Oh, go.
or like someone's bothering tickets. Okay, I can do the 23rd. I'll cut this all out. Sorry, like I'm being bothered.
No,
We're gonna come back in and
you're good. I also looked rom-coms 2022, and I see Bros and Ticket to Paradise. Bros was bad.
I
It
didn't see it.
was so bad. And then Ticket to Paradise is that movie with
Oh, Julian and George.
yeah, that looked so bad. I don't know. It's just, I don't, they don't really make rom-coms, or
No, it's the, like when Nora Ephron died, everything died.
exactly. And I think they tried to make this Sydney Sweeney Glenn Powell movie like the return of the studio rom-com, but I don't know.
It just
Well, let's
doesn't
see how that turns
hit
out.
like that. I don't know. And I like Sydney Sweeney. I also love Glenn Powell. I think he is a very smoochable man. And I'm really excited for that Hitman movie that's coming out
Which movie?
in June. It's a Richard Linklater movie where he plays kind of like a wacky fake hitman
Oh, that sounds good.
who gets
Oh, it's
sucked
called
into, it's
Hitman.
based off of a true story. I think Glenn Powell co-wrote the movie.
Oh, cool. All right, I'll
I
see.
like him. I do like him. Oh wait, okay, so there are other headlines in this
Oh,
game that
yeah.
we've come up with on the fly. All right. Kid Cudi cancels tour after breaking foot while jumping off stage at Coachella.
Kid Cudi breaks foot jumping off stage at Coachella.
Yeah, he was doing kind of a like
Is,
a crowd dive.
I could be making this up, but isn't this like the second time something like this has happened to Kid Cudi? I feel like is he known to like kind of stumble on stage? I'm looking up Kid Cudi stumbles on stage. Let's see what happens. Oh, it's only this story, but I could be wrong. I could be, but I don't know why that doesn't surprise me that much either.
I feel like he's always getting into scrapes and stuff. Like, didn't Diddy allegedly blow up his car recently? Or not recently, but like it came to light recently
Oh my God.
because he was dating Cassie for a little bit during that whole
Ah,
thing.
I just don't know why Kid Cudi would jump off stage.
I
I think,
think I read this headline and was like, go home, old man.
yeah, like you're not in the right, no, you're not in the right space. You're not, he's 40. What are you doing jumping off a stage?
Yeah, it's a little inexplicable.
I
Also, he
certainly
doesn't
wouldn't
have
get
a
up.
single song where he needs to be doing any of that.
That's a really good point. Oh no.
Were you ever a Cuddy fan? I feel like he was so big when we were,
In
I
high
mean, kind of in
school.
the Gossip Girl era, like early high school.
In a subtle way, like I wasn't huge like Cudi head, but I really, you know, I was into that album. I was like, oh, this is cool, Lonely Stoner, you know, all that
I mean,
shit.
that song is so good.
It
And
rocks.
whatever that like house remix that people played a
Oh
lot,
yeah, the
also
Crookers
super good.
remix.
Oh, Crooker's remix, yeah,
Yeah,
super,
I
super
love that
good.
shit. So good.
I also had a big fondness for Make Her Say, the one that
Oh, that was
samples
good.
Poker Face. It's
Yeah.
so gross if you listen to it in hindsight,
Oh,
though.
I bet. That's a good
It
song. He had some fun
he had
like
some fun
off that.
songs, but it was all like that kind of like college rap is so
Exactly.
goofy.
And that honestly, that wasn't really for me, the college rap kind of thing. I mean, I say that, but I liked Mac Miller in that era too, so I don't
Oh
know.
yeah, me too. It was impossible not to like Mac
It was
Miller like
impossible
when we
not
were
to.
in high school.
Backpack rap, you know,
Oh
there's
my
time for
God.
that.
Our whole cross country team was so obsessed with Macklemore.
Oh God, Macklemore.
I'll shout him out by name. Will Conway used to bring speakers everywhere we went and would blast Macklemore. And I'm not even talking thrift shop. Like this is the pre-thrift shop.
Whoa, like
All
the
of it.
mixtape. Do you remember?
And
Sorry, go ahead.
awful. No, go on, go on.
Do you remember who showed you Thrift Shop, or like, do you remember your story with that song?
So I actually
Everyone has a
organically
Thrift Shop
came to
story.
it. I came to it organically because I was a very big, and still am like a chart head when it comes to music. So I like looking at charts. And way back in the day, like old man Haskins used to look at the iTunes downloads charts
Oh, nice.
every
It's a good
day
metric.
to look at what was popping off and like look at the new releases and everything. And Thrift Shop dropped. And I was like, oh, Macklemore is not only has a new song, but like that song went basically straight to number one.
Yeah, it was from you.
And I was like, whoa, this must be so good. And it's like very much not that. Like,
I remember thinking it was so cool that I knew this song. I don't remember exactly how I found it, but not to be all, I liked it before it was cool, but I did like it before it was cool. Not that that's anything to brag about in the Macklemore. And like you said, I'm pretty sure it very quickly became cool. But I have this like, it sends a shiver down my spine when I remember I like sent it to one of my friends and I said, you have to listen to
you
this.
have to listen to this.
Oh.
Like Natalie Portman and Garden State handing the shins to
Yeah.
people. Oh
With
my
Thrift.
God.
What a god awful song.
It's so god awful. And but like when we were 18 and lizard brains, like you have to understand that 2013 was such a weird year for pop music. Like
Was
I've been reading the Stereo Gum number ones column, well, religiously, really, since it came out, but like
great column.
Tom Bryan just got to 2013.
Oh hell yeah, that's a
And
crazy year.
to cover Thrift Shop, Blurred Lines, Roar by Katy Perry, Royals by Lorde, like there was so much tonal whiplash. And then like you have to talk about like the Gangnam Styles and the Harlem Shakes of it
Oh my
all
God, of
too. There's
course.
just so it was such a weird time to be like 18 and like ready to bust loose and like blasting your speakers everywhere.
And there was so it there was such a sound, like listening back to these songs, they're also like deeply dated sounding.
They're
Like
very dated, very
I'm looking
rinky-dink.
right now, what is this? Bruno Mars, Locked Out of Heaven. That sounds so, just it's playing in my head and it sounds so, something about it is so 2013, right? Like
Yeah,
that
but
kind
it's
of
also
big
that song
pop.
is good.
It is a good song. It's a great
Yeah.
song. Oh my
I like
God,
Bruno
Harlem
Mars.
Shake, that song rocks.
Caveat, That song does rock, but specifically the Azalea Banks freestyle version of it
Yes.
changed my fucking life. That I think I posted that on my Facebook page
Oh, that's so
back in the
funny.
day. I was constantly in high school posting, like, y'all heard this, and it's like a link to 212 and the Licorice music video, and everyone's like, shut up, like, boo. But like, I was on the right side of history with that one.
Sure. Are there any more important headlines we need to review?
Okay, we have one more.
Okay, please.
Four people have been taken to hospital after several military horses, one covered in blood, broke loose during a routine exercise and bolted through central London this morning.
Oh, okay. Wait.
I can repeat any part of that
Please
if you need.
repeat the whole thing, but slower and more like a story.
Okay. Like BBC News story.
Yeah.
Okay, I can't do accents, but here we go.
It's okay.
Four people. I can't do that. Okay, we're gonna redo that again. All right, four people have been taken to hospital.
Four
To
people.
hospital after several military horses, one covered in blood, broke loose during a routine exercise and bolted through central London this morning.
Okay, so who's exercising? The horses or the people? Was this an
The
equestrian?
horses.
Okay, and then how were the people involved?
They were trampled, I think.
But why were they just innocent bystanders or were they the horse owners?
So that's unclear. We don't have a lot of information on this scenario. And the thing that I'm most concerned about is the blood.
Whose
Let
blood
me.
was on the horse?
So that's a good question. Okay.
Oh my God. That's a
It's a
shock.
white horse covered in blood.
Oh
Click
my God.
pop.
That is a haunting thing to see.
It is, and I mean, it's very apocalyptic.
Oh my God, a white horse covered in blood. That sounds like something Taylor Swift would write.
Yeah. Do we even want to get into
I mean,
that?
what are your like, we can do cursory thoughts. I feel like
I
I
feel like it's been said at everything's been said at this point.
Exactly. I mean, I'm rooting for her always, but this was just like I have the same opinion as every other critic in the world, which is she needs an editor. It was just she has too many yes men. It was sleepy. There are a few bops, but like Jesus, girl.
Yeah, I have five songs saved out of 31, and I think that's kind of all I have to say about it.
That is not, yeah, exactly. I mean, that says it all.
And we're fans usually. Like we're
Fan, I went to Eras.
okay, you oh yeah, you did go to Eras. You were
Yeah, I
in
love
Chicago
her.
for Eras.
Yeah,
Crazy.
I love her. I support her, but this is just
Yeah.
gone too far with this one.
I feel like really only the diehard Swifties are like caping for this. Her spree today that she went on, Taylor's spree of retweeting all the positive reviews
Oh, I didn't see that.
with
Weird.
little lyrics and like tagging. This is psycho, I think. She tagged all the authors. She was
What?
like, thank you. Horace Mann for try for giving me a 5-star review in Uproxx this week. Like, and Uproxx fully has like AI writers at this point, so I'm like, who are you thinking? But
Oh my
I don't
God,
know.
Taylor. That's such weird behavior.
It's
Oh my God.
fascist. It's fascist.
Yeah, I see she retweeted Maria Sherman. I know her. That's crazy. Oh my God.
And like, I don't think you should direct. If I were the most famous woman in the world, I would not be redirecting my attention at literally anyone because like you put the tractor beam on people and their lives change for the worse. Like people were clowning on Paste Magazine for not running a byline on their review, but I got it completely. I'm like, why would
Yeah,
you?
I completely get it.
Yeah.
I wonder who on her team told her this is a good idea, these tweets. Because I guess I get it as a PR move, but it's just strange.
It's quite strange. It's quite strange.
It's kind of rookie behavior.
I think she's just going through it right now. Like, I mean, she's breaking records with this album, but it doesn't really seem like most people like it all that much. And like,
I
I
mean,
don't think she
for
expected to
real?
get a lower Pitchfork review than Peppa Pig.
Yeah, I mean, I think we are in kind of an echo chamber. Like all the people we read and we talk to don't love it, but there's a whole world of Swifties out there, you know?
Yeah. But even like the Swifties I know in real life are
Not crazy about it.
not crazy about this.
I don't know. I sort of get it as like a stylistic. I mean, what I think she's doing is like, yeah, this is like my book of poems. That's why it's so long. And like, it's my diary entries. That's why the writing is all
Sure, but like that's also
great.
what Midnights was too. I would definitely like the songs much more if Jack Antonoff not produced them. And I have been bullish about Jack Antonoff in other contexts before. I don't think he's a bad producer, but there is something about how oversaturated he is right now, specifically with her work and like his work too, which I think his solo work, which I think is dreadful. Like that we're just hearing every trick that he has over and over and over
Over. I mean, like I can do it with a
again.
broken heart. It's like it's the same idea as Bejeweled. You know, it's like the same sonic
Yes.
idea. Even the like little do-do-do-do-do in the background is like the same. I don't know. That's just one example I could think of, but
That is one of the ones I saved, though.
I know I love that
Yeah, I
song.
like that. I
But
like that one.
it's, you know.
Yeah, no, it's definitely like it's a retread. Every song on this album is sort of a retread of something else sonically, except for So High School,
I really like
which
that one.
a great song, but it sounds like an Olivia Rodrigo song.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I didn't think that. I thought like it kind of sounded a little 90s
Like a
almost.
Sheryl Crow.
Sort of. I also liked what do I like? But Daddy, I Love Him.
I wasn't keen on that one. I don't like it when she gets like Mimi with
Yeah, I
her
understand.
speech.
There's some annoying ass songs on this album
No,
also
that like the first five are all very, I mean, like a lot of it's really annoying. Like, and once again, we like her. It's just this is really like
She's testing me.
she's testing us.
Testing
Like,
my allegiance.
it's hard to be diaristic and introspective and like feel like write a whole album from the perspective of letting your fans in when we see every single little thing that she does.
Exactly. And I don't know.
She
It's
should
fine.
write about someone else.
Yeah, or I don't know. I don't know. They're just it's hard to listen to her music and not think about her like public life. I think I almost like the album more when I remove her from it, but also at the same time, it's I don't know. Some of these songs are just mid, and I think that's the headline.
Yeah, I think that's a good headline. Like if I don't know, I'm trying to do that mental exercise in my head, like removing her and putting in Clairo. I'm putting in Clairo. I'd still be like, what the fuck, Clairo? Like 31 songs.
That's interesting. If it was a Clairo album, I'd be like, I actually kind of like her, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like Clairo. That's
I don't like
what.
Clairo either.
Yeah, she's just.
Okay.
But if I heard this from Clairo, I'd be like, oh, there are a few songs on this one, you know?
Claire, yeah, I mean, Clara also is suffering
Anyway,
from like
that's like
Jack
not even a.
Antonoff disease. Oh, okay, you know what's a good Taylor song that also ties to our themes at hand? Betty, which is named after Blake Lively's daughter.
I love it's named after Blake Lively's daughter.
Yep, yep,
Wow.
yep.
I
Betty and
love that song.
Inez that are two of the Blake Lively, Ryan Reynolds babies. Actually, let me fact check this. Inez definitely is.
I love that song. I love that album.
Yeah, Betty,
Betty and Inez, yeah. And
Inez. Oh, they have a lot of kids.
oh my God, wait, and I'm pretty sure she says like the song is written from the point of view of a guy named James. Oh God, that's weird. They're all
But
siblings.
James is, I think that's their daughter. They have another daughter named James.
Okay, and I could be making that up too,
Okay,
so.
I'm gonna Google Blake Lively kids' names. This is so interesting for everyone.
Everyone loves it. Okay, wait.
Okay, James, Inez, Betty, and their youngest child, whose name has not been revealed.
Can't wait to hear it revealed in Taylor Swift's next song. The baby's name is Florida.
Oh my God, I hope not. I mean,
After
I
the.
wouldn't put it past them. James, Inez, and Betty are all sort of crazy in different
They
ways.
are a little crazy and they sound strange together.
Yeah, James, Betty, and Inez. Those are
No,
like someone's grandparents.
that's a crazy trio.
And the fourth one is going to be like Walter.
That see, okay, but Walter would round it out weirdly.
Walter Lively Reynolds. Oh, that's a good name, actually.
Okay, I'm trying to think of a name that would totally throw it off. Like Walter makes that group of four names make more sense. If it were
Like Trixie.
that would be crazy. Yeah. Okay.
Trixie would be, I mean, Trixie would be crazy if you were an only child, but like
Trixie, yeah, no, you're
Inez and Trixie.
Oh, that's so funny. You
Oh my
just had that.
God.
You had it on the top of your
It
mind.
was just the first thing. I don't know why I thought about that.
Teresa.
This episode made me really love Blake Lively all over again. And I say that every week, but and we'll get into what happened last week and everything, but like I would say that Blake Lively was the highlight of a fairly dud-esque episode.
Yeah, it's definitely a dead ass episode. I do think Serena, Marble Mouth Serena, as Alyssa called her last night, is on in full effect. She really marble mouthed her way through this one.
It was so marble mouth. Like I spent a non-significant, insignificant, what am I trying to say? I spent a significant portion of time yesterday trying to do like Serena voice to myself, just like working from home.
So funny.
Yeah, it's fun.
I mean, she's a fun one to imitate. Should we get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Okay.
Right. So last week, Serena's pill-popping, gin-chugging pirate of a grandmother, Cece, came to town and destroyed everyone's lives with her unchecked classism. Cece faked a terminal cancer diagnosis to strong-arm Serena into going to the debutante ball with a reformed, drug-rug-less Carter Bazin, as Dan was too poor to show off in front of high society. Through the power of radical honesty and direct communication, Dan saved the day and exposed Cece's geriatric tricks in front of her whole family.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Blair and Chuck's clandestine affair raged on, but Chuck's manipulative behavior ruined the debutante ball and drove Blair right back into Nate's inexplicably dressed arms. All the while, Jenny was hanging around even when she wasn't supposed to be, and she ended the episode grounded by her deadbeat mom. XOXO, Gossip Girl.
That was fabulous. I will also say it reminded me that Serena's grandmother faked cancer last week, and we don't hear a thing about it this week.
No. Like they move
Moved right on.
along so quickly on this show. I was in Kelly Rutherford's like Instagram comments very recently,
Place
as
to
I often on. I did like follow her just because I wanted to see what she was up to. I like find her life so fascinating. And
be. Okay.
she posts no fewer than like four times a day to Grid.
Wow.
And in her replies is on basically every post here is the woman who played Cece.
Oh my God. That's great.
I thought it was so sweet.
That is so sweet. I mean, I love this small like blip in the story, like a true blip, the grandmother faking cancer.
Yeah, this would psychologically devastate me if my grandmother ever did something like this, but
Truly,
Serena just lets things roll off her. I mean, it's really impressive.
yeah, it's Christmas, like whatever.
Oh yeah, it's
Where should we
Christmas.
start? It is the Christmas episode, the kind of mid-Christmas episode.
There's really not that much going on in this episode except Well, you know what really was like a bummer about this episode? It was so adults heavy and not in a fun way.
Yeah, I God fucking damn it.
Even we're getting sucked into like Eleanor and Roman's relationship, which like I like Eleanor a lot. I like her and I like the actress, though I did find out that the actress is the head of the Hollywood Pro-Life Society.
What?
Yeah,
Eleanor?
Eleanor.
Oh, that's such
She's
a
like
shame.
an extreme Catholic and is like fervently like anti-abortion, which we do not support on this podcast. So
That's a shame because she does seem like she'd be fun to get drinks with.
yeah, a listener suggested, I don't know if we talked about this, like that we get a soundboard where we play a gong every single time that we talk about Ed Westwick
I really like
his
that idea.
allegations. We
Or
should
like,
add another like a wind chime for Eleanor's like our
oh, I love
disclaimer.
that. Or like a really sped up version of a disclaimer, us saying it like just a.
Like,
Yeah,
yeah.
exactly.
I'll just take that out
Well,
of the
the more you
episode.
know. I'm glad you told me.
I
Maybe
just Google so much while I'm watching this show.
there's so much to learn.
There really is.
So
For
much.
example, too, the guy who plays Roman is the French guy from Emily in Paris, like the older love interest, who also shows up in Sex and the City twice, once
Oh,
as a
yeah.
like sexy shoe salesman, I think. And then again, and in Just Like That, he plays Seema's like sleazy club owner love interest.
That
He's
is
just like a
so
French guy.
funny. Oh my God. I know every single character you're mentioning. That's
Oh,
crazy.
yeah. To have like that kind of gay cultural footprint is really
Oh
quite
yeah.
something.
I'm sure he's a hit on the dating apps, unless he's married.
I'm sure, yeah, I'm sure every woman is like, I loved you in
Oh,
Emily in Paris.
is he not gay?
Well, I assumed he wasn't because they didn't like gay people on TV in 2006, but
I guess you're right.
oh my God, he's only 51.
Oh, good for him.
Right now, he's only 51.
Oh, okay. I wonder how old
Whoa,
he is.
I thought he was 44 when this 43 when this came out. Oh my gosh, I said some very rude things about him in our doc. I
Oh, fine.
thought he
I
was so old.
mean, me too, but they made him up to look like older, or maybe just in the context of being with whatever Blair's dad's name is.
He is married to a woman.
Okay,
He
interesting.
is married
Well.
to a woman, which is no crime, obviously, but it's not what you'd expect.
Not what you'd expect. Yeah,
No. I do
interesting.
know the guy who plays Blair's dad, who is very good at playing an older gay guy, which is a very specific type that is not easy to play. He's very good at that. He is straight, though.
Wow.
So acting, once again, acting is wonderful. It's so
Acting is wonderful.
transformative.
It is.
Okay. Well, we're dancing around actually talking about the
Let's start
episode.
with Blair.
Okay.
Let's see. So you gave her an A minus. Speak
Oh,
on that.
yes. I forgot we're grading her. I like all of these grades this week for me are a little half-assed. I did give her an A minus because when all was said and done, she did actually have a pretty good episode. She had some like family drama, but a lot of clarifying conversations. She got to scheme unsuccessfully. She got to trip a man skating, and like somehow he did not get a traumatic neck injury from that, like no spinal cord collapse or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought she had a good week.
No, I think you're on point there. I feel like she had her ups and downs, but in the end she got her own room in like a Parisian estate or whatever.
Yes, which is like the most glamorous thing a girl could ever ask for. So,
I don't know. I think that's worth an A for sure. The first we see of her, she's in this incredible little nutcracker outfit. She's wearing, it's not nutcracker, but she looks adorable. She has this like white ruffle button down and this like ribbon, red ribbon headband and this like red bow belt. I don't know. She looks so cute and she's carrying these giant candy canes and she's the queen of Christmas.
Yeah, she loves Christmas. Like the Waldorfs apparently do Christmas big, which we do see later in the episode when like Eleanor hosts what I could only imagine is like a Veronica's Secret corporate tie-in for the show itself. Like everything was pink, like everyone was in these like lacy negligees, and like Victoria's Secret as a company is mentioned like 10 times on this episode too.
Yeah, what's the deal? It's I think she has like a partnership with
Yeah,
Victoria.
she's designing a line of luxury sleepwear.
I love that. That party looks really fun.
It did look fun.
Chuck is
But
in Co, quote unquote.
yeah, like he's like hiding out after Blair like kicked him to the curb. But she doesn't care about that because her gay dad is coming to town after Eleanor booted him out for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I don't know when Roman, the formerly mentioned Roman, is introduced. I love Eleanor coming into the room. Imagine my surprise when the elevator opened and out popped both of them. She's in her like silky.
So funny.
She's becoming, she's coming into herself in these
Oh
episodes.
yeah, I love Eleanor. I think Eleanor's such a good character. Like, I think they got her and Lily right
Perfectly.
tonally for this season. Like, Lily goes in some really crazy places by the end of this show, but this first season they figured her out pretty well. But I really like the little scene where Roman and Eleanor, even though like I don't care about this ultimately, like I think Roman's only in like two episodes of this show. You get a little shading about like they were really good friends before, and had kind of this like wonderful little like gay and girl dynamic before he somehow stole her husband, which even like even a bad gay would know that that's like too bad to do.
Crazy. I don't
Yeah.
know. There's one point where she says friends don't steal other friends' husbands, which is
That's so
true.
crazy.
I
It's
guess
so
that's
true. Oh my
true.
God.
Could you imagine?
Especially like 15 years into like a family, raising a family.
Please.
That's so crazy.
It's revealed that you put here Mr. Waldork and
Oh,
Roman.
I didn't mean to. I didn't mean
Okay, I
to.
thought you meant to, and I was like, that is awesome. But
Oh
okay,
my
I'm
God,
sorry.
pun like pun name calling is that's a little Trumpian of me. That's
That
not
really
usually
is.
where my like my humor goes.
Oh, I liked it. I still like it,
I like
but
Mr. Waldorf. He is a kind of dork.
he's a dork. He and his male model boyfriend bought a chateau, and Blair is, of course, sad because she wanted to convince him to move back to New York. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm of the mind that I know you want your dad, but like, okay, you have a place to go in France now.
Yeah, I do think for her, if it had been actual Paris, she would have been excited. But she probably saw like Lyon and was like, oh my God. Like Lyon is it's like
Also,
the West Virginia of France.
oh my God. Oh, that and it's sort of like I'm impressed because I'm me. Nothing impresses her. She can stay in a chateau for a month and if she wanted to without, you know, without any ties there. She's a rich girl. She's, you know, she just wants her dad.
Yeah, she's very self-sufficient with her material gains and like how she wields her power, as we see later in the episode. But her mommy and daddy issues are so crazy that she resorts to violence. She attempts
Yeah.
to murder Roman.
She trips him on the ice when they go ice skating later. You wrote Tanya Harding Waldorf.
It's so dangerous.
It is so dangerous. That's no like it's not like he she pushed him in the snow. That's hard ice.
Yeah, she didn't do that cartoon thing where someone is skiing and then they like swerve to stop and like shower ice on people. Like, I've never seen anyone do that in real life, but
They did a, yeah, that's a, it. She did a proper stunt with Roman, and he's on crutches, right? That's what
Yeah,
happens.
he's on crutches at the holiday party. He's like hobbled in French and he's like, oh no. I
I'm done
do
with
think they asked this guy to play up his accent a ton because he was very Pepe Le Pew at
him. Was
points.
in a way that I was like, this, it just, now it just sounds like he's doing an accent, but
I
not
was
my.
kind of thinking about this though. Like, I think European people are just kind of like that sometimes. And I want to stress, we have a lot of international listeners. We love each and every one of you. And I apologize for being stereotypical here, but I was watching a movie over the weekend called La Chimera, set in Italy, which everyone should watch. And it was the most Italian ass shit I've ever seen in my life. Like, everyone was like fully doing like It's a Me, Mario.
Honestly, and that is, that's the joie de vivre that we Americans lack. And we need to, actually what that is, that's the like equivalent of an American playing up their like Southern accent. That's Brittany on Fifth.
Brittany Cartwright. Like, I can't even do her accent. Like,
Oh God, that, I mean, anyway, we can't go on a Vanderpump tangent or a
no, we
Val,
can't. We
but
can't. Where are we?
Eleanor Dishes.
Yeah, she was like, oh, Romaine was such a slut back in his day. Like,
I mean,
which is
okay.
such a funny thing to tell your daughter about her like future stepdad.
Yeah, that, and also, like, I don't know, this whole thing was a bit much for me to follow. Like, so Eleanor tells Blair, I'm now wearing a heating pad, so that's why it looks like I'm wearing it.
It's
Anyway,
beautiful. It's like a Blair Waldorf capelet.
oh, it really is.
Yeah.
So Eleanor tells Blair about Roman's slutty past with a guy named Freddie, and then Blair looks him up, finds him, and invites him to Eleanor's party in order to sow chaos.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess it is pretty simple, but
No, but like it doesn't it's not clear. I didn't think it was clear what the end result was going to be until like Mr. Waldorf saw him and he's like, "What are you doing here?" And was like, "Roman, you've been a slut again." And then Roman like hobbles off after him.
yeah, and it was, I mean, it became clear immediately, like, that Blair was the one who set it up. Like, she there's not like a, she doesn't pull one over on them.
Oh no, well, she's fully sitting down on like a chaise longue, like looking up from her phone, like smiling like the fucking
Like,
Grinch at them.
seriously,
She's not subtle.
she's making like a cartoonishly mischievous face. She looks so cute though. I love her little white gold dress.
Yeah, I love those. Is that like a baby doll dress? Is that what
I
you'd call
okay,
that?
yes. I was like, is it a parachute dress? No, it is baby doll.
I love that style. I do associate it almost exclusively with Leighton Meester and Misha Barton.
Yeah, I mean, completely. It takes a certain, like, not everyone pulls that off. I can't pull off a baby doll. They can pull off baby doll.
I feel like we're going to see that trend come back this summer, like the sleeveless baby doll dress and like. And I'm not even talking about like the kind of like pinky tulle fabrics. Like that's almost a little too like Barbie. Like kind of like what like we're gonna see like what Blair was wearing. Like
I hope so. I would
and
love to.
maybe matching headbands
Oh,
or headscarves.
I
Perfect.
love a headband.
Yeah, it's perfect.
I love Blair's room becomes like an arts and crafts fair.
Oh yeah. Oh my
She We'll
God.
get
We'll
into
get
that
into
later.
that.
Yeah, we'll get into it later, but they're trying to put together a Serena's crafty present for Dan. And it's Vanessa and Serena and I think Eric on
Eric, they
the
press gay Eric into gay slavery.
Literally, they're all snipping pieces of cloth or something. I don't know. And Blair notices Vanessa's like awfully quick to help and kind of puts her in her place and says, like, what does she say? Like,
She was
you're
like,
my champion.
you are pining after Dan. He's not yours. Back off, bitch.
Which, like, respect.
Respect and true. And guess
True,
who
like,
doesn't take the hint? Vanessa.
no, she does. She
Never.
does.
Well, no, she leaves for the time being, but spiritually she never leaves. She's
Spiritually,
always there.
she's always there. She lingers.
Yeah.
And then, what else?
So
Blair.
the oh
Okay,
yeah, no, go on.
oh, no, you first.
Well, so Blair's dad talks her off the ledge and is like, we bought the chateau for you. But the
It's all
room
about
that they
you.
show on her phone looked like a cell.
I know. Okay. I was like, wait, am I looking at this wrong? It did not look cute at all. It was poorly designed. He was
The bed frame was made out of twigs and branches.
like,
There was like a chamber pot on the floor.
there's like one photo hung above the bed and it's like askew. It looked dark. It didn't look quaint.
It looked like an incredibly creepy bed and breakfast. And
Yeah.
B but Blair's like obviously touched.
Yeah. And then they got our cat named Cat, just like in Breakfast at Tiffany's. Oh my God. Also, I noticed when she's kind of, telling her dad how she feels about Ramon, she goes, "What's next? A commitment ceremony?" And I was reminded that gay marriage was not legal at the time.
No, you would have had to go to Boston to do that, I think. And these like elite gays are not going to fucking Boston,
So,
Massachusetts to
I guess
get
they're having a
married.
commitment ceremony.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
I know. I was like, at first, I was like, wait, what? And then I remembered this is 07.
It ends very sentimentally though with Blair. Like she gets Dorota a cell phone for Christmas
I
so they can
love that.
text, which is so
Yeah, she
cute.
said it's so we can text. I thought that was so cute.
Oh,
She loves
but
Dorota. And then, oh, okay, but it really ends with a twist. When she texted Chuck earlier in the episode and was like, "You need to not tell anyone about our little thing." And Chuck texts back at the end of the episode saying, like, "Don't worry, who would I tell?" And attaches this hilarious picture of him and Nate together on a beach. Like, it is the most photoshopped picture I've
it's
ever seen.
so funny. It's like these two guys who are like fresh out of like I'm Schmacked, like an I'm Schmacked video, like against the most obviously fake like
I mean,
stock photo of a beach.
it's like a Getty Images. I don't even know. I do think
So funny.
if there's a way that we can attach the picture that I sent you, Drew, of
Oh,
the
we must.
okay,
Yeah.
like let's try to put that in the description. I don't know if you can do that, but it is so funny. I had to pause.
Yeah, it's we I will attach it somehow for our listeners because it truly is such like a beautiful enhancement to this.
It really is.
So that's supposed to be like the big cliffhanger for this week, but it's not really much of a cliffhanger. Like
Oh, it's not.
nothing really happens with that beyond they took a
Yeah.
picture.
Yeah, they took a picture of a memory that'll last a lifetime.
Should we get to Serena?
Yeah, let's do it.
I gave her a C plus for Christmas plus because there was a whole lot of Christmas this episode.
Whole lot of Christmas. I'm gonna give her, yeah, I'll give her a C for crafty. She
Oh, she was definitely crafty.
Yeah, she was very DIY. So she is like racking her brain, doesn't know what to get Dan for Christmas because Vanessa already got him the best present that he could have ever received, which we'll talk more about later. But Vanessa gets Dan published in the New Yorker, which, okay.
Outrageous. Outrageous.
Outrageous. And so she does, what's a rich girl to do? She gets him a beautiful watch, and then Dan says he can't accept it because it's too expensive. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I think I would at that point just take the watch and like accept the gesture.
Yes, I would too, like out of politeness. I think for if I were dating someone for 5 months and they got me something that expensive as a gift, I would be a little alarmed. But
Sure.
then I thought about it, and these people are teenagers. They have no perspective on anything.
We don't.
And Serena loves spending money. So I'm like, I don't know what he would have expected.
I don't know. If I think if I really liked the person and it, 5 months in and they got me a watch, I'd be like, fuck yeah, I would be
Yeah, oh
into it.
yeah. I would be into it too. Like
I understand his
to an
pause,
extent.
right? Then they determine they have a $50 gift limit and
Like fucking white elephant.
yeah, and then oh my God, Vanessa offers to tell Serena his favorite used bookshop. Like, girl, hop
Get
off.
she
Stay in your damn
is
lane.
the dick riding is crazy with her.
Get
It just
it.
it's so crazy.
You know everything about him. Like, oh God, I don't know that.
Yeah, but also like a book is not a good present
No.
for like Dan. If Dan got a book for Christmas from Serena, he'd be like,
Thanks.
A, why the fuck did you get me a book? I wanted the watch instead of this.
Exactly,
B, like she would
Jasmine.
have gotten him some like water for elephants ass book. It
So
wouldn't have been
true.
good.
I love Blair says truer words have never been spoken. Serena asks Blair, like, well, what can you get for $50 these days? And she says, a single entree at a mid-priced restaurant, three quarters of a DVD box set, a pair of Wolford stockings. Like, and this was before inflation. And she is so, I always say that, I do always say this, you can't get anything for under $500. Let
I
that.
think I agree with that. I
I
think I
mean,
agree with that.
and I guess I more so mean it in the like it originated from me going to shop for women's clothing and realizing that everything costs $500. And if you go under the 500, it is cheap, and that's what I have to do. I have to buy my polyester threads.
Yeah.
It's a shame. Anything good is going to cost you $500, and I won't have it.
They
Anyway.
like they keep telling you to like frame it as investment pieces, but like some of this like $550 stuff is not very well made.
And that's the thing. It's sort of like if you go under the 500, also, like let's say you go to the 400, that's going to be as cheap as the 200, you know? It's going to be maybe a little better, but it's still going to be. And the I don't know. It's just it's different levels of cheap. Everything's so poorly made.
Yeah. Convert like my related economic theory that coming from the other end, like this is the top down versus the trick. Wait, was it top up, trickle down?
Sure.
Don't know what I'm saying. I took econ. I should know this, but to me, anything that's less than $5 is free.
Yes.
If it is less than $5, like a cup of coffee, it's not real money. I don't need to factor it into a budget. And yes, I know that things add up. Yes, I know that like 5 times 12 is $60. I know this. But if it is less than $5, it's free.
Yeah, I less than $5, it's free. If it's $7, it's $10. If it's $12, it's 15.
Yes.
I have a lot of
Yes. And
thoughts.
we'll, in addition to the picture that we talked about earlier, we'll post our economic sliding scale
Yeah,
for everyone.
I have a few more edits to make to my $500 theory, but we'll move on.
Yeah, we'll put it on a
So.
whiteboard for people. Oh, wait, line of the episode for me. I don't know, I don't remember how this came up. But Serena, oh, because Blair is asking Serena to log into her like modeling agency's directory. And Serena says, I did one print ad for Gap when I was 12.
Yeah, I thought that was,
Incredible.
I
And
mean,
she got a modeling contract.
of course she did. Serena asks Vanessa after turning down her used bookshop suggestion. She asks Vanessa on Christmas Eve for help buying a gift for Dan. And then they I don't know who, which of them, I'm sure. Okay, so Serena says, all he wants is snow, and I can't make that happen. And Vanessa says, you sure about that? So I guess.
I thought they were talking about cocaine for a second, I'll be honest.
True. I guess it was Vanessa's idea, which, okay. And then you wrote, they run a craft sweatshop out of Blair's bedroom. They're cutting, like, I guess, little
It's paper.
stars out of paper and little pieces of white paper. And then, Drew, tell us what happens. Tell us what happens then.
So I can't believe this. So in the floor of Rufus's gallery, that somehow Vanessa has the keys to that too. They have set up a what I can only describe as a multimedia immersive snow sex installation on the floor,
That is
where there's
crazy.
like screensaver snowflakes projected on the walls with like pine trees. All the paper that they cut off, they must have cut up like 2 tons of paper because it's
Fill the floor.
snowing, fake snowing the whole time. And there's just a mattress on the floor.
Just I mean, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if she killed him right then and there. It's cr and I guess the idea is like it's snowing and we can have sex, I guess. And
Yeah,
okay.
it's.
Fact check. They've had sex before, right?
Yes,
They
they have had sex before,
and they have
though this was a very virginal scene. I hate that word, but
was a very virginal scene. They like start making out and there's this very serious moment where she like pulls down her bra straps and Ben goes, are we really gonna do this? Like, I do what? Like, you've done it. It's okay.
it's okay. Maybe he's just afraid to do it in his dad's place of business. Like,
Maybe, but
maybe he's afraid that he's going to get paper somewhere. Like, it's not
he should
good.
have been more specific. I don't know. I don't know. It was funny to me.
And Vanette, I almost expected the camera to pan over to a corner, and Vanessa is like,
She's in the shadows. She's
he's in
watching.
the shadows. Yeah. Are you familiar with the concept of Fujoshi?
No, what is
I,
that?
okay, almost. I almost actually don't want to get into this, but it's an ancient Japanese artistic depiction of when a woman is watching two men kiss each other.
That is so funny.
And I don't know why Vanessa to me seems like she would be really into Fujoshi.
It's the Japanese term for female fans of manga, anime, and novels that feature romantic relationships between men.
But it dates back centuries. It's not just like a modern phenomenon. It's not like Larry Shippers or whatever. It's like
She's a
real.
hot girl.
But I could say, I don't know. I mean, you know, Blair and not Blair, Serena and Dan are obviously a heterosexual couple, but Vanessa to me seems like she could Fujoshi out if right circumstance.
I could see it. That would be like a good band name, Fujoshi.
I'm sure there is a band named Fujoshi. I'm sure of it.
Okay, so should we move on or do we have anything else to say about Serena?
Oh, well, she comes home to a big Christmas tree that Dan got her.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Blah, blah,
Anyway, whatever.
blah. And then I guess we could run through Dan pretty quickly.
Yeah, we can do Dan. Yeah,
I
the
guess.
Dan storyline was a bu well, I mean, he got I gave him a C for Christmas plus too, but
Yeah, I think I'll back that up. He got his story in the New Yorker, thanks to Vanessa. And the story is called 10-8-05, which we later find out is the day that he met Serena. Stupid.
wow, schmoopy as fuck. Though, like in the Thanksgiving episode, like we're also meant to believe that they had met each other for the first time then in the middle of the street.
I'm a little the timeline's confused. But I'll roll with it.
Yeah, sure. I don't, it's fine. I don't care about any of this. I think it is so crazy that Vanessa somehow has an in. Well, I guess she submitted his piece to the New Yorker.
Right.
without him knowing about it.
And he got in this like 20 under 20 writers competition. So, okay.
Okay,
Also,
which is not a thing they have, by the way.
no, not a thing they have. But I'm sure there's some personal information you need to include when you enter that. Like, I don't know. I'm not buying it.
Yeah, I'm not buying it either. Like, I mean, Dan is acting very manic pixie dream girl all episode. Like, we talked about him only wanting snow for Christmas, and I'm like, bitch, it snows in New York. Like, we know
I
this.
know.
We
He
all
is.
saw Elf.
It snows in New York. He's sad because there's no Christmas. That he expresses at the beginning of the episode. That's all he wants for Christmas, hence Serena's display. And l he okay, with well, th this will sort of help us get into the adults.
The way you have phrased this is so
It's crazy. Okay, so he's reading Christmas cards. He's like, oh, from the Smiths, happy holidays, real original. Oh, from the blah blah blahs. He's, doing his whole damn thing. And then he stumbles across a letter from his mom's lover and starts to read it aloud. Allison, meet me. And then I guess Allison stops him from finishing it. But it's very clear that yeah, it's a message from Allison's lover.
yeah. It's I mean, I just don't understand the point. I like, this is just so implausible to me. I don't know, like the lover sending a
Yeah.
Christmas card to the house.
I just
Crazy.
there must be another way. These people have cell phones. Yeah, like
Yeah, they have cell phones. Though like everyone's cell phone seems to be fair game on this show too. Like no one has a passcode, like everyone can just. Did Motorola's have a passcode, actually?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I guess everything was fair game then. Damn, it must have been so hard to cheat back in 2007.
Truly. I mean, I don't know. Clearly, Allison does not know how to conceal her affair.
I mean, she's a pretty dim bulb as we see this episode.
I cannot stand that woman.
Yeah, I'm glad we don't, I don't think we see her after this.
I need her to go back to Hudson. I need her to
Yeah.
go her incense ass house in Hudson.
Yeah, I think we're done with her.
I'm done with her.
What else happened with Dan? Oh, I don't know. He tried to sneak a tree into Serena's hotel.
Yeah, so that's
Like whatever.
yeah. And then yeah, under the the sex snow installation, Dan gives her like a crumpled up piece of paper with the story and tells her that it's about her.
Yeah. This was such a snooze of it an episode for like most of the people, honestly. Even like the Blair plotline was not that great. Oh wait. Wrong. I spoke too soon, actually. I see the next bullet point here.
Oh
So
yeah.
Jenny got a D for me because for D for devastated. But I the Santa baby choral sleigh. Perfect.
Amazing. Oh my God. I mean, just what a way to open an episode. This show knows how to open an episode, and
Yes.
Jenny and her classmates singing Santa Baby at the Christmas fair or something, the school Christmas.
Yeah.
So funny. What a great song choice for this show. Of course they're singing
Oh,
Santa Baby.
yeah. No, they always do the most inappropriate songs in this choir. Like, I mean, obviously, Glamorous is more iconic, but like a bunch of 14-year-old girls singing Santa Baby at a school function is incredible. Also, another thing that really made me laugh about this episode that I noticed in the Central Park scenes was that it was so clearly October when they filmed this episode. Like all the leaves are orange.
Yeah, truly. That's a really good point. I did not notice that. But there is that one shot. Yeah, that one shot that I was like, oh, that's a nice shot. And then I thought, oh, wait, that is fall.
Oh yeah, no, it's like
A
full
great shot.
fall foliage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
But it's
funny.
Christmas time in New
Yeah.
York.
So maybe Dan has a point. Anyway.
So
She's really sad, Jenny. She's really sad that her parents are splitting up, and that's just like her whole plot line.
Did you write sad, broken family period, or did I
Oh,
write
I think you wrote that.
that?
Period. Okay, dramatic.
Oh, so they are broken. Okay, I guess we have to grade Vanessa too, just to do it. D.
Yeah, I don't know. She's not getting higher than that from me.
Her. I think we've talked about all of her plot points this episode, but she was wearing a truly inexplicable, like, a leopard print hybrid between an apron, nurse's scrubs, and those jackets that hairdressers wear. It was
Oh.
absurd. It, like, purple and leopard print.
Yeah, she really she looks like she stepped out of Justice. You know the store Justice?
Yeah, that's
Formerly known as Limited 2.
damn. That is, I would not be shocked if this was like an actual limited to Justice find.
Could be. And maybe she's wearing it in like this kind of
Oh
punk.
my God. She
I
is
don't
such a
know.
limited to kind of girl.
Yeah, she's I don't know. I feel like I remember the books describing her as way like stranger than she actually, I mean, is on this show. I could be wrong, but I have a memory of her having a shaved head in the books.
Well, we're gonna have to read the books then, because
I
I need to know if
gotta
that's
look
true. She's
up.
quite strange.
Yeah, book shape.
Her, like,
I'll fact check myself later.
her, I mean, she cut 1,000 paper stars this episode for nothing. That's strange behavior.
I was right. In the books, Vanessa had a shaved head. Okay.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Is that supposed to mean that we're not supposed to like her?
No, but you're supposed to see her as like an odd girl,
Well,
you
that
know?
is odd. If a girl had a shaved head, and I have to emphasize, different time, different place, but in the year 2004, 2005, if a girl had a shaved head, that was very
That
strange.
was an odd girl. Yes. And
Yeah.
I'm just, I guess I'm not buying the actress. What's her name? Something Abrams? No, that's the name of the character.
Vanessa. No, Jessica Shore.
I'm not buying her as an odd girl, you know, but maybe the clothing is trying to get that across.
I mean, the JoJo Siwa comparisons remain consistent week over week. Like she, her, but like her knitwear and like fingerless glove game this episode too was so like, it was so like they just they treat her like she is like an odd bird.
Yes, and I mean, she spiritually has a shaved head, so.
Yeah, very, yeah, spiritually very much so. Okay, the
Her crush on
adults.
Dan is spiraling out of control. Blah blah blah. Yeah, we can move on.
I
So
don't
yeah,
want to
the
talk about
adults.
the adults.
We can, like, go quickly. I mean, Lily is what's her deal? She's
Well, Lily to me was iconic. Oh, Lily is just iconic every week to me. Like she was champagne drunk the entire
Oh,
episode.
God. She looks miserable.
So she's keeping Bart on the low for some reason. I think because he's just kind of like a skeez.
Yeah.
But like she runs into Rufus and Allison at the like Constance Biller holiday bazaar and then kind of is like, Bart, if you're not going to get serious, then I'm not going to get serious.
Fair. And
And
what else?
what else? Well, she goes to the holiday party with Bart, or the Waldorf holiday party, gets wasted again. She's always wasted. And she, like, Rufus calls her to wish her, like, Merry Christmas, Lil. And then she's like, fuck you, bitch. I'm going to
Oh.
Anglia. And
Yeah.
she hangs up on him and she's like, why did I do that? I'm like, because you're drunk and like you're really feeling yourself because you look amazing. Like it's not rocket science.
Yeah, truly. Later in the episode, I guess like towards the end, Bart proposes to Lily, and Lily ignores another Rufus call, at where Rufus is calling to tell her that Allison is leaving, and like, oh, I made a mistake.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly what he says, but God damn it. She just,
They
I don't know.
just can't make it work. Okay, so now we got to talk about Rufus and Allison. So we talked about the card, the insane card to the house. Rufus once again getting cocked,
God damn
this time with the help of USPS. Thank you to our postal workers.
it.
I like that you wrote, "I hate these people."
I hate these people.
The doc is making me laugh this week.
I really cannot stand Allison. I need her. I wrote bland-faced bitch. I need her off my screen. I really can't handle
Oh
her.
my God.
I'm so
I feel bad for this actress because I like her in other stuff, like namely Chicago. And for
sure.
her whole arc on the show to just be kind of this like shrewish nag is so horrible.
I don't know. Did we already say this? Rufus goes to the bar to meet Allison's lover and finds out that like she's been carrying on the affair the whole time. Did we already say that?
No, we didn't already say that, but that was the second
That
cucking
happens.
this episode. This guy has been on like five or six different SVU episodes, so that I was focused on that. I didn't focus on the content this episode or like this scene. But then he comes home, he's like, "What's the big idea, Allison?" And then she denies everything, but they both are like, "We don't want to do this anymore."
I really am glad that they will no longer be together.
Yeah. But then he calls Allison, or he calls Lily about Allison leaving and is like, "I miss you, baby. Come home for Christmas."
But she doesn't pick up, and
Yes. Oh, wait, and he also does this call outside of the hotel. He walks from Upper East Side to Brooklyn in a green Henley tee.
a tundra.
Cucked thrice. What a Christmas.
I don't know. I don't remember. Does Lily accept Bart's proposal, or are we waiting for
We
it?
don't see it this episode.
Okay, and the final adult, Eleanor, I think she gets an A because she like fucks that hedge fund guy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
That
that's
who like that's we didn't talk about the flirtation scene, but this old guy and his granddaughter walking up the path in Central Park and is like, "Where's the ice skating rink?" And then Eleanor's like, "How should I know?" And then he walks away in the other direction from whence he came. Weird. But then he's at the party somehow too. How did that happen?
no, I truly don't. I mean, I guess he like how did I Roman got his information, but how did he get it? I don't know. I'm kind of just accepting it.
But it was cute. I like that Eleanor got hers, and the Waldorfs had a nice Christmas.
They did. Happy for them.
As Gossip Girl put it, some families actually do manage to make the Yuletide gay.
Really, really great line. I like two thumbs up. That was crazy to say.
She had one line all episode, but that she really made it a good one. That was so funny.
Truly.
Chrissy Bell must have had so much fun doing
I
the show.
bet it's so perfect for her. You've watched what's that movie? Forgetting Sarah Marshall, right?
Oh yeah.
It's like it's the same, she's exercising the same bone that she used or muscle that she used to do the how she's like a CSI character on TV
Yeah.
as that role, like the voice that she uses to. Okay, now I'm just talking myself. You know what I'm
We're
talking
talking about Forgetting Sarah Marshall in the year
about.
2024, but it's a great movie and like she's so good. And okay, this is the thing. Kristen Bell is very good in basically everything. The problem is these days, I think she is just sort of the American Jamila Jamil in a lot of ways, in that she's just a little too like self-helpy. And I think the Dax Shepherd of it all has brought her down. But Veronica Mars, if people have not seen that, you gotta go watch it. It's like the best show ever. Like, if you like Gossip Girl, you will love Veronica Mars.
Truly. Okay.
Final segments?
Needle drop of the week. I mean, The only we wrote down the only answers, the only possible answers. This was not a big music episode.
Yeah.
Aside from the Santa Baby choral arrangement, and I kind of got a chuckle at Lily's ringtone as she's getting proposed to. It's like a little chip. What do you call it? Chip
Chip
tune.
tune.
Chip tune. Deck the Halls. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, for me, like it was definitely Santa Baby. Like they were playing some kind of like iron and whiny
Oh
kind of
yes.
song at the end. I didn't know what it was,
I
but
looked it up because I thought, I was like, is this fucking Iron and Wine? It wasn't. It's someone else, but
yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, like they did a lot of like kind of awful like Sex in the City theme song versions of Christmas tunes this episode, which was a very big cultural phenomenon at that time.
Yeah.
But I didn't find any of it worthy of commentary really. But Santa Baby was so iconic for it, like bumped it all up for me. Outfit of the week.
Were several good outfits.
Yeah. Honestly, everything Blair wore this episode was great, but I really was drawn to Eleanor and Blair's coordinated plaid and beret
Classic.
Central Park outfits.
Classic.
So great.
Yeah, I love them in matching plaid ponchos, little berets, and Blair with her white tights on the ice skating rink. She just is so cute. She later wears this red and white polka dot nightgown on Christmas morning. What else did we write down? Oh, okay. The previously mentioned like bow filled outfit that she wears when she's carrying the candy canes and the red headband. Just a lot of good stuff on Blair. I think we just give outfit of the week to Blair's wardrobe.
Yeah, she definitely wins the week overall. It was a very strong showing. I honestly don't really remember anything else anyone
Yeah.
wore. Okay, best line read.
Okay, I didn't write any down.
Okay, I mean, we've gone through a bunch already. I think we've said the best ones already, but there was a throwaway line at the Christmas bazaar at Constance Billard where Dan and Serena are like examining like a butter churn that's for sale, which
Oh.
unclear. And Blake Lively says, that would go so well with my loom, with the
What? Wait, what, my loom?
loom.
What is she
Like
talking?
loom, she's saying loom, but
Oh.
she's putting a very like flavorful twist on it.
Okay, that I missed that throwaway line. That's awesome. You also wrote another Serena classic.
Oh yeah, and he raised Chuck. That should scare me. Or wait, that scares me.
Yeah, that's when Lily tells Serena that she or Serena and Eric that she's dating Bart. Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't a huge line read week.
We said a lot of the good ones already too. Like sometimes the segment's just gonna get short shrift a little bit like it did this week. But I really do want to shout out though, everything Blake Lively said this week was delivered so weirdly.
So serenely.
Actor of the week.
Truly. New segment.
Bully of the week, victim of the week, our actual segment.
Don't
I don't
know.
really have a.
I mean,
I guess Rufus was victim of the week.
sure, yeah. And then Bully. I don't know. No one, everyone was kind of in the Christmas spirit. No one was doing any real bullying. Maybe, maybe Chuck for sending kind of a scary text on Christmas morning.
Yeah, that was like revenge porn adjacent. So maybe
Yeah.
not. Yeah, maybe that. Do you have an XOXO this week? Which for new listeners is a cultural thing we want to recommend this week that's not related to Gossip Girl.
Okay. I watched Taxi Driver for the first time. Don't come for me.
Okay, wait, can I be honest? I haven't seen it.
Okay, thank God, I feel
Yeah,
safe.
I haven't seen it.
Well, it's so fucking good, you need to see it. Oh my God. They were
Yeah.
right. Yeah, it
I it's been on my list for so long.
same. It was one of those things where I just had never watched it, and then I said, "You know what? I'm gonna watch it." And then I did, and I keep thinking about it, and I keep texting Gabe, taxi driver, just out of the blue. I think it's kind of funny, but yeah, no, great movie. Like the greatest movie of all time that everyone is, the top of every single list.
Have you heard of this? It's a
Yeah,
taxi
exactly.
driver. It's pretty good. Mine's actually tied to that because while I have not seen Taxi Driver itself, I have seen approximately a million movies that all cite Taxi Driver as a direct reference. And this week's XOXO for me is the new Bertrand Bonello movie, The Beast, which does cite Taxi Driver pretty explicitly in the movie itself. It's so good. It's out in theaters now. It's a French movie about a future in which AI has like taken over society and emotions are dangerous. And the beautiful actress, movie star Léa Seydoux from Dune 2 and several other things, has to like purge the trauma of her past lives. In each of these lives, she meets a mysterious man. And to say any more would just be to spoil it, but I thought it was a like masterpiece, and it was so good, it was so scary, it was so funny. Like I was shattered at the end of it. It's a masterpiece, and everyone should go see it.
Wow. Okay. It looks so good. I saw the trailer and I was like, whoa.
Léa Seydoux is so good at acting; it is fucking crazy.
Okay. Wait. Is it out right now? Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
No.
it's definitely out right now, because if I could see it in Chicago, you definitely can see it in New York.
All right. It's at IFC Center. Maybe I'll
Oh,
come.
and you know who is also in this movie, who is also quite good in this movie?
Dasha.
Dasha.
Yeah.
Dasha Nekrasova herself,
Pizza.
who's who's Dasha? Dasha's Dasha. That's all we can say about that. But she's very good in this movie too. And I had not, because I haven't seen Succession, I like have not seen her act before. So this was a pleasant surprise.
Really looking.
Okay.
Damn.
And as always, watch The Valley on Peacock and Bravo.
That's actually that is my biggest cultural recommendation of all. What a fucking crazy episode this week was.
We are going to keep XOXOing it until people actually watch it. And I think it's doing very well, but we want to hear your thoughts about The Valley. We want to hear your thoughts about Gossip Girl. We want to hear your thoughts about anything. Just email us at girlsroompod@gmail.com. And maybe if you submit some listener questions, we'll answer them on a future episode.
That's fun. Oh, right. We did that before, didn't we?
We have done that before. It was quite fun. So if you have any questions about Gossip Girl, just
Or
anything
anything.
really. Like, we like talking. That's why we have a podcast.
Yep.
All right. So,
Awesome.
okay. Should we do social media drops? Or should we link
I'm
out?
not really in a place of social media right now.
Yeah.
I think we should I think we should rebrand, maybe make a different TikTok for our.
Yes. So we'll circle back on the social media for the time being, but
Sure.
what we do have links in the description of the episode that you are currently listening to and all previous episodes. So I guess if you would like to find us currently, you can find us there. We'll be back next week with another new episode.
Yay.
And then yeah, we're a little low energy now. So
Yeah,
I think
it's
it's we're a little tie-tie, so
been
that's time.
a while. Really
Yeah. All right. Well, XOXO.
Girls' room.